The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
The word of God be on my mind, on my lips, and my heart. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storehouse both the new and the old." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're so lucky we have more parables today. If you're getting a little weary of them, I have some good news. Today, we're done. At least for a while. But during this time of reading parables, did you get a little insight into the nature of the church or life as a follower of Christ, or both the cost and the value of discipleship? A little? A little? What is this, a 7:45 Mass? Or else it... It's good if you did, except I don't think that's exactly what Jesus was going for with these stories. We hear them already knowing the story of Jesus. His audience at the time didn't know that story. They hadn't heard it. They were in it. They didn't know that this preacher would be tortured and murdered and buried and then rise, and that the dominant cultures of the whole world would measure time based on his life. All that information influences our understanding of what Jesus said. We tend to interpret his parables as allegories, where one person or thing in the story stands for another thing or another kind of person or part of ourselves in real life. Last week, Jesus himself explained the parable of the weeds and the wheat as an allegory. Remember his words, "The field is the world, the good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one." That's allegory. And it is one level of understanding and interpreting a parable. But it's only one level. Scripture scholars tell us that the deeper purpose of parables many, many times is to disturb us, to provoke us into looking more carefully at the story and more deeply into ourselves. Now, for us, now, that takes very careful reading, because we bring this whole different set of understandings and assumptions into our reading, different from the original audience. Today we have three parables: the treasure buried in the field, the pearl of great price, and the net thrown into the sea. Here's a little more good news. I'm not going to talk about all three, just one. In the pearl of great price, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to what? To, hello, Bueller? What's he comparing it to? The pearl of great price? No, thank you. But thanks for playing. We've already failed in our careful reading. Here's what the text says that you just heard. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. A merchant. The kingdom is not the pearl in this way of carefully reading the parable. The kingdom is not a thing or a place. Things and places can be objects of obsession or possession. They can deteriorate, they can rot away. The kingdom is something that happens to or happens within a person. We do a little more careful reading, this time to look at what the audience that Jesus had in front of him would understand about a merchant and about pearls. Now, today, merchant is a pretty neutral term. But in Hebrew Scripture, scholars of Hebrew Scripture tell us that merchant was almost always a very negative label. And that's what the audience of the time would know. A merchant, an unscrupulous price gouger. And pearls. In Jesus' time, they were the most costly thing imaginable. More valuable than rubies or diamonds or gold. Jesus' audience would probably never even see one, much less touch one or own one. And then we do still more careful reading. And I want you to not miss the fact that the merchant goes from looking for many pearls to buying just one and investing everything he has in that one pearl. Something has obviously changed inside that person. That's one of the big tests. One of the big provocations, one of the things that should cause us to ask questions. Has he now become a risk taker and invested his whole business in one piece of merchandise? And when he sells it, then what? Or has he ceased to be a merchant at all? And now simply is content and fulfilled looking at this marvelous thing, this pearl? We don't know the answer. Jesus leaves his stories, especially his parables, most often open-ended for us to try to figure out. What would I do? Or, more importantly for this parable, what could trigger in me so much of a desire that I would change my whole life to get it? That's provocation. Now, in translation that we have, this story is just two short sentences. We could keep picking it apart for hours. More good news, I'm not going to do that. But if I did, we'd find even more challenges to our worldview and more challenges to our self-image. Carefully read parables, you see, will challenge you. What I want to offer you today as a thought is, let them. Let them. You see, the same thing that limits our initial understanding of Jesus' parables, the same thing that does that also gives us assurance that when we allow Jesus to challenge us and to change us with that challenge, we grow closer to God. That is, we do know more than his first audience about what happens to Jesus. We do know of his ministry of mercy and healing and compassion. We do know of his total self-sacrifice and the resurrection into which we are all invited to participate. We do know of his continuing presence with us and his continuing provision for us. So, I give you permission. Catholics need permission for everything. Take the extra time, do the extra work to carefully read parables. Let them disturb you. And don't be afraid to do that. Instead, rejoice that the kingdom of heaven reaches out to us every day, every day, in word and sacrament, and touches us as deeply as one can be touched with the Eucharist that we will celebrate right now.